Congress expands its probe into big tech companies demanding emails and other records. Plus, the U.S. Justice Department investigates sexual abuse in U.S. Olympic organizations.
Going into 2020, they're going to want to resolve this. I mean, not only do you want to make sure people are safe going to the Olympics, but also it looks bad if the USOC is heading to the next Olympics with this cloud of uncertainty and investigations over their head.
This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Before we get to our stories on big tech and the Olympics, here are some other top stories we're following today. As WeWork struggles with lagging investor demand, we report that Japan's SoftBank is planning to buy at least $750 million worth of WeWork shares. The company is gearing up for its initial public offering. WeWork is hoping to raise at least $3 billion at its IPO, putting its valuation between $15 and $20 billion. That is far less than the $47 billion private investors valued the company at in its last round of fundraising. As we reported this morning, WeWork has announced governance changes at the company and will list its shares on NASDAQ. The Food and Drug Administration is evaluating heartburn drug Zantac after learning of a probable carcinogen found at low levels in some versions of the drug. Officials are looking into whether the chemical, known as NDMA, poses a risk to patients. The FDA says the levels of the chemical in preliminary tests, quote, barely exceed amounts you might expect to find in common foods. The FDA says it will make its assessments available to the public as soon as possible. China has agreed to exempt purchases of U.S. soybeans, pork, and other agricultural products from tariffs that have hit hard in the U.S. farm belt. The Wall Street Journal's Josh Zumbrun explains.
It's been devastating for U.S. farmers, and it's not just the tariffs themselves. You know, China controls a lot of the companies that do the importing of these products. Their government has a lot of control over these companies, and they've essentially just shut off purchasing from the U.S. And instead, they've been buying their food from, you know, Brazil and Europe and other places. And this has just wrought total havoc on soybean prices and other crop prices. So it's been extremely hard. And you look at the numbers, you know, the U.S. just on soybeans used to export around, you know, $12, $13, $14 billion a year. And that market has almost entirely disappeared for American farmers and gone almost entirely to farmers from other countries. And so it's a good sign if these tariffs come off and people can start selling back into China again. But you'd really need to see large-scale purchases sustained for a very long period of time before farmers would even be back to where they were before this trade war had started. You know, any idea that farmers are going to come out ahead is months and maybe years away. I mean, this is really the very first step of climbing out of a very deep hole for American farmers.
China made the exemptions after President Trump delayed a new round of tariff increases. The U.S. and China are expected to resume trade talks in Washington next month. The London Stock Exchange has rejected a $36.6 billion bid from the Hong Kong Exchange. Our Margot Patrick explains that the LSE expressed fundamental concerns about the deal in a letter on Friday, including calling into question Hong Kong's status as a financial gateway to Asia.
That was interesting because Hong Kong has had that sort of unquestioned position as the way to tap into Chinese markets for a very long time now. And with this letter, LSE is saying, we doubt that Hong Kong may even be the financial city that companies will use to raise capital in China and that Western investors will want to connect with. So they really called into question whether Hong Kong Exchange even had something to offer them.
Meanwhile, LSE says it is committed to buying financial information and terminal company Refinitiv. Actress Felicity Huffman has been sentenced to 14 days in prison after she admitted to paying a college counselor $15,000 to boost her daughter's SAT score. Huffman is the first parent to be sentenced in the widespread college admissions cheating scandal. She's also been sentenced to a year of supervised release, 250 hours of community service, and a $30,000 fine. House lawmakers are seeking a range of documents from companies including Facebook, Google, Amazon, and Apple. The Wall Street Journal's Ryan Tracy says the House Judiciary Committee launched its probe, which is one of several into big tech companies, in June.
It's notable that it's bipartisan, that both Republicans and Democrats have signed on to these letters to Apple, Amazon, Facebook, and Alphabet, which owns Google. There's a lot of detail in these letters, and it's more than we've previously known about where authorities might look when they investigate these companies. So for Amazon, there's questions about Amazon Prime, pricing, about the fees that are charged to Amazon sellers. With Apple, there's a number of questions about the App Store. With Google, there's questions about dozens of its businesses, from its web browser to its mobile operating system to its search. And with Facebook, there are questions about its acquisition of companies like Instagram and WhatsApp. And that's only a small summary of what Congress is asking about. You name it with these tech companies, Congress has asked a question about it in these letters. And the most interesting thing about the questions is that they've not only sought business records, financial statements, and things like that, but also communications, emails from some of the celebrity founders of the companies and other communications about these issues.
Tracy says clashes are expected over what documents get turned over to lawmakers. The House investigation comes as tech companies are facing greater scrutiny in Washington. We also report that national security officials and tech leaders have been working to better protect U.S. elections. Facebook organized a meeting at its headquarters in Silicon Valley last week. Our Deepa Seetharaman says the meeting laid bare the tensions on both sides.
For all intents and purposes, intelligence and tech didn't work together ahead of 2016. And now there's this understanding that Russia was able to manipulate public discussion through Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, and that there were no guardrails. Nobody knew how to stop it. But at the same time, there is this tension around how much tech companies can actually share with the government. Everyone wants to avoid a repeat of 2016, but it's not at the expense of just handing over user information. I mean, the tech companies have a business imperative, right? They can't just do this because people will leave their platforms and get angry at them, and there'll be continued regulation and, you know, new laws that could impair their ability to do business. But, you know, from the government side, they want more too. And so there's this tension that emerges in this meeting, and it shows that the relationship, they're still working out the kinks, and, you know, 14 months before 2020.
And you can read the full story about the meeting on our website, WSJ.com, or on the WSJ app. The U.S. Justice Department is investigating sexual abuse within U.S. Olympic organizations following the case against former national gymnastics team doctor Larry Nassar, currently serving an effective life sentence for sexually assaulting women and girls. The federal inquiry comes ahead of the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo. Joining me now with more details is Wall Street Journal reporter Rebecca O'Brien. Rebecca, this seems like a widespread investigation. Which groups have you found that are under investigation right now by the Justice Department?
So it is a wide-ranging investigation, and it's actually, I think, best thought of as multiple investigations that interconnect. And the important bodies to think about here are the U.S. Olympic Committee, the Center for Safe Sport, USA Gymnastics, and USA Taekwondo, and the FBI, which is sort of a side issue. But think of it as like a layer cake, right? You know, this investigation, which is being led by multiple offices in the Justice Department, along with IRS criminal investigators, is looking at bad actors who are coaches or doctors in the gym level of various Olympic sports across the United States. And then secondarily, there's an investigation into potential cover-ups and maybe financial and business wrongdoing by the national governing bodies, or NGBs, like USA Gymnastics or USA Taekwondo. And the third level here is the U.S. Olympic Committee. It's the big overarching organization. They're looking, you know, as well at their response to sex abuse allegations and other potential financial wrongdoings.
Now, how big of an impact did the Larry Nassar case have on the current investigations? This was a pretty blockbuster case, shook up the world of gymnastics and the Olympics to a larger extent.
What I think, I mean, the Larry Nassar case, it slowly began building. It came first surfaced right after the Rio Olympics, more than 3 years ago now. And what I find incredible is that what the Nassar case not only did was, it first of all, you know, hundreds of women came forward with allegations, But it really also opened, shed light on all of these other cases, like in USA Taekwondo, where there had been allegations and in some cases convictions of coaches that had kind of been like lost to history. And there was this trend over decades of misconduct and sex abuse in a number of different sports that no one really had paid close attention to on a grand scale. So the Nasser case really not only had a tremendous impact on gymnastics and the Olympic Committee, but it also just opened the floodgates, as it were.
Now, we are looking ahead to the 2020 Games in Tokyo. What are the implications for the U.S. Olympic system? As we've been talking about, the Nasser case did cause a lot of damage to the institution.
Yeah, Nasser case did a lot of damage to USA Gymnastics, but it also had some blowback on the U.S. Olympic Committee because of executives there who were informed of it and didn't necessarily take steps that many people in the public think were they didn't talk about it more publicly. They didn't take steps to advance the investigation. And they kind of leave with egg in their face. And what is important about these investigations, I think, is that they show the continued legal pressure on the USOC. There's political pressure, but there's also legal and potentially criminal pressure on some of the executives or former executives of these organizations. And going into 2020, they're going to want to resolve this. I mean, not only do you want to make sure people are safe going to the Olympics, but also it looks bad if the USOC is heading to the next Olympics with this cloud of uncertainty and investigations over their head. And of course, you know, in 9 years, they're going to be hosting the Summer Olympics in Los Angeles. So, you know, we'll see how they resolve this.
Wall Street Journal reporter Rebecca O'Brien, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'd like to hear more from you on this story. What reforms do you think are needed to the U.S. Olympic system ahead of the 2020 Games? Let us know by tweeting us at WSJ Podcasts. And that's what's news for this Friday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.